from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Most definitely. I think I was definitely trying to take advantage of each and every rep that I got today. Looking forward to getting better tomorrow.
Yeah, I found out right when I woke up this morning, last night, just looking over the plays. But this morning, our quarterback coach just texted me and said, be ready to take some reps for the ones today. But this morning, but it's good, to face, some short-term memory, some adversity, stuff that's, not expected. We're going to face things in games that aren't expected. It's about how we react to those situations and how we adjust, so.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Dickerson, Callis behind the glass. And that was Justin Fields yesterday talking about how he woke up and found out that Russell Wilson was not going to be participating in the first practice of the 2024 NFL season of the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll get into my theory around Russell Wilson in the next segment. But Justin Fields, these are the opportunities that he is going to get. And getting this opportunity early on, I think, was a good thing for the Steelers, a good thing for Justin Fields. They are going to evaluate every single thing he does. Every single thing. And you know what? It's not in the first day of training camp. You got nerves. You got anxieties. You have emotions. You walk on the field for the first time. You're like, okay, this is the start of the journey. And the journey is so damn long, as you all know. It goes all the way till February, if you are lucky, and if you are the most prepared football team week in, week out, you get a chance to make it to February and to possibly be called a champion in the NFL. But this is the start of the journey, and this is a different Pittsburgh Steelers team. We said a little bit about it yesterday. Kenny Pickett gone. Mason Rudolph gone. Mitch Trubisky gone, new quarterback room, 3 new quarterbacks of the Pittsburgh Steelers, one you traded for who is an intriguing prospect, who is an intriguing player, was a top 10 pick for the Chicago Bears at the quarterback position. The Chicago Bears felt like with their position in the draft this past year that they couldn't miss on Caleb Williams. So they are willing to part ways with their former first-round pick, which is Justin Fields. The Steelers felt like Justin Fields still has something left in the tank, so they traded for him. And he got his first opportunity yesterday to do all the things we were talking about. So if you listened yesterday about what I was saying, breaking down Justin Fields and what the Steelers' plan probably and might be for Justin Fields, it started yesterday. They want to figure out if this guy can take control of the offense. They want to see his leadership. They want to see if he could potentially be the quarterback of the future of the Steelers. Now, Russell Wilson, if he has a good year, he probably is going to price himself out of the Steelers. That's just it is, and you all know, the Steelers aren't going to spend that much money. Russell Wilson might be in the $50 million range. As you saw yesterday, it's floated out there that Dak Prescott could be a $65 million quarterback. If Russell Wilson has a better season than Dak Prescott, he's not going to get $65 million, but I bet you he gets $50. That's just too high. That's too high for a guy that's 36 years old. So what the Steelers are looking for is for Justin Fields to possibly be the guy of the future. Omar Khan has stated that there will be no extensions at any time in the near future for either quarterbacks. Probably will wait till after the season. But what the Steelers can find out about Justin Fields this year is how he does those little things. And you can find that out in preseason. You can find that out like yesterday in training camp. He will sporadically get his opportunities during the season, but it'll be in a gadget form. He's not going to be the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers this year unless Russell Wilson is injured on IR, out for the season, out for a few weeks. He will get his opportunities then. If that does happen, it's a long season. We saw what happened last year to at least 15 starting quarterbacks in the NFL. So backup quarterbacks are a huge asset to teams now with quarterbacks being injured so frequently. So maybe he does get his opportunity then, but you will see Justin Fields on the field this year. It just won't be in the form of a consistent, hey, you are going to be the starting quarterback of this game, and Russ, we're just not going to go with you. That's just not going to happen. But they will be able to find out little things, and I'm sure they found out a decent amount yesterday. You go in, you have practice, and I'm sure some of you saw some of the clips from him throwing the deep ball to Van Jefferson and Dante Jackson falling down. I'm sure that Justin Fields had his ups and his downs. I mean, that's how the first day of training camp goes. But the reason why that they brought back Mike Sullivan, the quarterback coach, is for guys like Justin Fields. Is for actually Justin Fields. Because now Mike Sullivan's job is to break down Justin Fields alongside of breaking down practice, alongside of breaking down the offense. Justin Fields basically has his own personal coach, and it's a guy that has been around. He's called plays in the NFL. Some of you know Mike Sullivan's background, called plays in the NFL, has been the quarterback coach for a few years for the Pittsburgh Steelers, had an opportunity to call plays last year whenever Matt Canada got fired. He is going to be that one-on-one coach for Justin Fields to make sure that he is doing everything necessary and they can get the most out of him, as we basically were talking about in the pre-show. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. So, like, Justin Fields is going to go break down practice after practice yesterday, and then he's going to, you know, get his little break, and this is what training camp is for, and then he's probably going to meet one-on-one with Tom Arth, who is the quarterback coach. He's going to meet one-on-one with Arthur Smith, who is obviously the offensive coordinator, and then he's going to take the time to break down himself. Break down himself with Mike Sullivan. That is an awesome position to be in if you're Justin Fields, and he didn't get that before. He didn't get that in Chicago. He didn't get the proper tools to be that top-level quarterback that everybody was expecting him to be. Now for him to get these reps yesterday, it's very important. It was a very important day, and it was a very important moment, and we may see this pan out. Now, I know that you're not going to – they weren't in pads, there wasn't pass rush, it wasn't a game, but this is – whenever you get put in a position where you're kind of blindsided, it's a test. Like, he was blindsided, as you heard in that quote there that we just played. But you need to be prepared to be blindsided, especially in the NFL. You should always be prepared for your opportunity, for somebody to get hurt, next man up type deal. And I have an interesting theory around it that we'll talk about next, because this was a test for Justin Fields. Are you ready? Now, we could have called upon you. This could have happened 2 weeks from now, and you would have been, you know, had your feet wet. You would have dipped your toes in the water, and you'd have been somewhat more comfortable to be able to do things like this if you already have a week underneath your belt of training camp and practice. But no, you get a knock on your door, or you get a text from Arthur Smith as soon as you wake up, probably like 6 a.m. right now, yesterday. And says, come down to my room, or come down to the office where we're watching film. We need to have a talk. And you're Justin Fields, and Arthur Smith's like, you're going to be starting today. So now your whole mindset changes, and that's a test. Can you handle those situations? Can you handle being thrown in the fire when we need you? Everything is a test for a lot of these guys. A lot of these guys, outside of T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward. You know, some of the other veterans, Micah Fitzpatrick, everything is a test, because you want to be prepared for every single moment whenever things happen during the season. And you don't want to have to, you want to be able to rely on these guys, and you want to be able to rely on Justin Fields. So I love that this is the situation at hand, and that's what happened yesterday. And it was kind of interesting because, you know, there is a lot of chatter around the quarterback position of the Steelers. Are there going to be reps that are going to be split? Is Russell Wilson really in pole position? I mean, these are what the talking heads are talking about on the national shows. This might be Justin Fields' job. This might be Justin Fields' time to go show that he could be the starting quarterback of the Steelers. There's still a lot of chatter around the Steelers' quarterback position. So for it to play out like this on the first day, I think it's fantastic. And I don't know if it played out the way that I think people think that it played out. That's where I kind of chuckle. That's where it is funny to me. Kaus, do you think Justin Fields will be the starting quarterback of the Steelers next year?
No.
No? Do you think it'll be Russell Wilson?
No.
Wow. So it's somebody else.
It'll be somebody else altogether.
Okay. All right. This is what they're looking for, though. And it makes too much sense to me. It makes too much sense that this is what happened. And this is how the Steelers started their 2024 training camp. 2024 training camp underway. They have practice today. They put on pads on Tuesday. So you still have a few days until the Steelers put on pads and actually get after it. But this was a good barometer of what is to come, I think, for a lot of things. And this is not going to just happen to Justin Fields. I have a feeling it's going to happen to some other guys as well. We'll get into Russell Wilson and his calf injury and what Mike Tomlin had to say about that. And also something that Tomlin said that we played yesterday that really doesn't mix well for me. And that's why I have a whole theory around this whole entire thing. We'll talk about that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You know, starts aren't always ideal, but that's like life, man. Russ woke up today, man. His calf was tight. My decision to sit him down today created a little short-term discomfort for him. not allowing a small problem to become a bigger problem. He could be characterized as day-to-day. On the flip side of that, it was an awesome opportunity for Justin and a challenge for our offensive unit to deal with a little adversity at the outset. You know, we all like to start with great fluidity and clean, but, man, football isn't always like that. And so, really, I looked at it as a good thing for a collective, a challenge for the offensive unit, a challenge and an opportunity to get to know Russ a little bit, man, create a little short-term misery for him, opportunities for others. And so that's the story there.
Fair Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection. Kallus, did you listen to that? Or do I have to replay that for you to actually intently listen to it?
Because I have to play it again because I kind of tuned out after he was like, "Oh, it's my decision.
Okay,
this is a great opportunity."
Okay. All right, I'm gonna play that for you again. And this is my whole theory, and this is why things don't really jive. And you know, but I'm okay with it. Like at the end of the day, like I like that this is the situation. I'm not like you know downplaying it. I'm not calling Tomlin out or anything. I just think it's very ironic and interesting. That the, you know, this Russell Wilson, Justin Fields situation yesterday was what they said it was, but I feel like it's a different thing. All right, I'm going to play that for you one more time, and then I want you to sit back, kind of let that brew a little bit, and then I'm going to play you a clip from Tomlin of yesterday, okay? Clip of Tomlin from yesterday. All right, here's the 2 days ago. So yesterday was this clip before practice.
You know, starts aren't always ideal. But that's like life, man. Russ woke up today, man. His calf was tight. My decision to sit him down today created a little short-term discomfort for him, not allowing a small problem to become a bigger problem. He could be characterized as day-to-day. On the flip side of that, it was an awesome opportunity for Justin and a challenge for our offensive unit to deal with a little adversity at the outset. You know, we all like to start with great fluidity and clean, but, man, football isn't always like that. And so, really, I looked at it as a good thing for a collective, a challenge for the offensive unit, a challenge and an opportunity to get to know Russ a little bit, man, create a little short-term misery for him, opportunities for others, and so that's the story there.
Okay, let that brew. You heard that. You heard the comments of Mike Tomlin. This comment and audio that we're about to play was from the first day whenever they reported, so 2 days ago, about Russell Wilson.
He likes to work. I just think that that is a really good place to begin. He's highly conditioned. He brings a unique approach to the weight room, maybe for a guy that plays his position. There's a lot of interesting things about him in terms of his appetite for work that's really attractive.
Mike, does Russ still have the pole position to be the starter?
Nothing has changed.
How do you plan on working those reps with him and Justin?
Very carefully. You guys think I'm actually back myself into a corner, so you guys are going to ask me daily about the rep allocations? In no way. I've been on the job too long for that.
No, Kallus, I'm not a guy that just creates drama or creates content. I just say what I feel from my experiences and what I know. And I'm usually brutally honest, and I don't kind of fabricate things. So do you see where I may be thinking why this is very odd from the two clips that you heard 1 day apart?
Well, he's hurt, or they claim that he's hurt, but the day before, Tomlin was praising how athletically fit he is,
yes,
and how ready he was to tackle physical work and workouts.
Yes, I find that very, very interesting that a guy that Mike Tomlin, and a quarterback that Mike Tomlin goes out there on the first day of reporting to training camp, highly praises of how he approaches the weight room, how in shape he is. Then the next day, that guy wakes up and his calf is sore, and you hold him out of practice? Very interesting to me. I think that this was premeditated. I think that maybe Russell Wilson, you know, maybe his calf was sore, but Russell Wilson's a guy like, it's the first day of training camp on a new team that I am trying to have a makeover, a perception makeover for, because there's a perception of me in the NFL that I don't like. And this is my opportunity to kind of save my face, to recreate myself. And Russell Wilson, the guy is an ultra competitor. As Mike Tomlin said, he is, in the weight room, very impressive, in shape, takes care of his body. You've seen the clips of Russell Wilson. You're trying to tell me that Russell Wilson didn't want to go out there and start the first day of training camp, and they were worried about his calf, so they held him out? No, 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 no. No. This was, in my opinion, this was orchestrated to hold Russell Wilson out because they know that he can. They know that he knows how to practice, and he's a veteran. They know he knows how to take control of an offense. They know he knows how to take control of a football team and to be a leader. But they don't know that about Justin Fields. They don't know that about him. And this was that moment to, hey, Russ, okay, like, let's go get some treatment. This is your first vet day off. He probably got a knock on his door. Russ, you know what? We're just going to give you the day off. We're going to wait until, the next day or 2 days later to kind of incorporate you in. But we don't want to waste any reps for you. We're going to give Justin the opportunity and kind of blindside him and see how he reacts. This was 100%, in my opinion, orchestrated because they wanted to see how Justin Fields would react to being blindsided of, you know, getting that knock on the door saying, you have the ball today. Let's see what you do. And Russ is like, all right. All right, yeah, I'll chill. There's no way that Mike Tomlin comes out that first day and praises Russell Wilson about his body and how he takes care of it in the weight room, and then he doesn't practice the first day of such an important season. This was all about Justin Fields and his reaction and how he would handle this practice. Do you somewhat agree with that?
Yeah, I do. And I think part of it might have been, too, and I talked about this on the early morning show, that now Tomlin wants everybody to look at Justin Fields, and you have that bit of a distraction on day one. Now people are talking about the Steelers. So, Justin Fields. I understand how they wanted to test him from an internal front, but also externally. You're just looking at Justin Fields now, and everybody's like, ooh.
Yeah, how are you going to allocate those reps? Very carefully. Very carefully. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. We see that. Yeah, you're not going to allocate the reps whenever Russell Wilson is in there and he has a helmet on and he's practicing. You're not going to give Justin Fields first-team reps then, but you can orchestrate a way where it's like, hey, Russ, you can take a vet day off, and even though it's the first day, it's a vet day off. We're going to preserve your body. We don't need to see anything from you on the first day. It's going to be very bland. We are going to put in our broad offense. It's going to be 7-on-7 drills. It's going to be 11-on-11, things that we know that you can do. We don't need to see that out of you, but we need to see it out of Justin. So take this day off and rest up and get ready for the season and get ready for maybe even today. Like, if he goes today, he could have went yesterday. So we're going to find out. If Russell Wilson goes today, one day of a calf issue, you listen. But the thing is, Kallus, is I love that. I'm not calling Tomlin out for real. I am in a sense because, like, I think it's funny because it's like, oh, yeah, Russell Wilson has an injury and, you know, that's why he couldn't go today. Like, maybe not, but this was all about Justin Fields and getting thrown into the fire and seeing how he reacted. And I absolutely freaking love it. I love it. I love testing Justin Fields like that because you need answers. You need answers about a guy that could potentially be your future. And even though you're not going to get all the answers in a first training camp practice with no pads on, you could start that engine. You could start that, you could start that machine going of figuring out what you have in Justin Fields. But this, to me, that's why I kind of chuckled because, yeah, Russell Wilson will be in there. He'll be getting treatment, maybe some stim and ice on his calf. But it's really about Russell Wilson not having to prove that much and them knowing what Russell Wilson can bring to the table, but not knowing what Justin Fields can bring to the table. And these are ways that you can orchestrate figuring and evaluating a guy. And I absolutely love that they did this. And from what I hear, it was an okay practice. It was okay. It was up and down. That's how the first days usually go. But I just thought that was funny because one day you say that Russell Wilson is in the weight room. And, I mean, you watch all the videos of him training. He trains like a you-know-what every single day. But I couldn't practice the first day. Very odd to me. Very odd to me. But I love it. I love it. Good on Tomlin. Good on the Steelers. And hopefully it pans out. Coming up next, we're going to get into some Pirates with Kallus. Brian Reynolds placed on the bereavement list. We all hope that him and his family are okay and prayers up for them with whatever is going on. But the Pirates, they are in Phoenix, and they take on the Diamondbacks for a three-game series, another big series for the Pirates. They have won four series in a row, and we're going to see, and we're going to talk about what needs to be done to grab this series. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. 93.7 The Fan, 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA, and WAMO, 107.3 are partnering to support Pittsburgh Public School students for the 2024-2025 school year by providing stuffed backpacks for the hashtag Pittsburgh for PPS Backpack Drive. Visit the link on the homepage of 937thefan.com. Support as an individual or a group, or get a group together to support. Help ensure a good start to the school year for local kids. Doran Dickerson, Nicholas Harry Callis, here with you on the Fan Morning Show. Callis, the Pirates, they are taking on the Diamondbacks, a team, and I heard you on the early morning show, a team that, you know, they're in the race for a wild card spot with, and they're going to be without Brian Reynolds. He is on the bereavement list, which, like I said before, we hope that everything is okay, and prayers for Brian Reynolds and his family. G1 Bay has been called up to the taxi squad. So as we sit here, they are, you know, two games over 500. They had an off day yesterday. They beat the Cardinals in the series. They beat the Phillies in the series. And it was the All-Star break. We got to have the Skeens Mania, watch him pitch. Before that, they swept the White Sox, and before that, they beat the Brewers in a series. So they're, you know, they're on a four-game series streak here. They've been playing some pretty good baseball. Brian Reynolds will not be in the lineup tonight. I don't know who is pitching. I got to go look at that. You might know. But what needs to happen here? Like, will they continue this momentum, Callis? Like, I know, and we will get in the next segment, as you know, I announced before the show, or at the beginning of the show, that I'm going to ask you why a certain guy should be traded for of the Pirates, and why that they should trade a guy that's already on the Pirates or in the Pirates organization to trade for a so-called ex-player. We know that they need bats. We know that they're probably going to get a bat, but is that bat going to be what the production that they need to help this team and put this team over the edge? But what do they need to do in this series, and how is it going to look even tonight, especially whenever you don't have your best offensive player, one of your best offensive players playing?
Well, they have to make up for that, and they have to hit. I mean, that's really it. They've got to develop consistent offense and take advantage. I don't think the Diamondbacks pitching staff is all that special. I don't think many teams that are in the race right now have anything super special. I think the Pirates have that advantage that they've got Paul Skeens, and they've got great pitching that can pull them through. The offense just has to make up for the offense just has to do the bare minimum. And right. I think that applies in this series as well. Speaking of starting pitcher as well, it's Luis Ortiz tonight.
I was just about to say that. I was going through my mind, I was like, when's the last time Ortiz pitched? That was last Saturday. So yeah, this would be about appropriate. So Ortiz.
I'll have to look up some probables, but the Diamondbacks, at least on MLB.com, don't have a listed starter yet officially. So I'll look at some probables for that, but that's really it. I mean, it's a key, I think, against any team that's in the wild card race right now. If you out-hit any team, your pitching staff's good enough to keep you in it, except for maybe Martin Perez. He's been – well, I mean, I guess he threw a shutout against the Cardinals, right. So who knows, but he's only had two wins with the Pirates this season. But, I mean, that's really it. It's not a difficult formula. You've got elite pitching. That's what distinguishes you in this race right now. The offense has to hit.
Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Do you like? We saw the game that they got real aggressive, and especially, you know, on the bases. And do you think that should be the formula moving forward? Like with G1 Bay on the taxi squad, I don't know what they're going to do with him. I mean, he seems like the small ball guy that they tried to do last year in the beginning of the year. It worked a little bit. He's obviously fast, but he's got to get on base in order to do that. But the aggressiveness of the Pirates, does every game have to be aggressive? Like, is that how they should approach it? Since every game is so important and every series is so important, do they have any wiggle room to be conservative and not be aggressive in every moment of every game?
I mean, I think it just depends how you want to approach the season and how you want to approach your games. I think that the best teams that act with aggression, they usually lean into that. Now, the Pirates have not been great at base running over the last few seasons. They've had some gaffes. They've had some head scratchers, and I think that has cost them some games. I mean, you know, the classic ground ball to the left side with a runner on second, and that runner just goes to third and gets thrown out, like, every time. To see them struggle on the bases as much as they have, I would think that a conservative approach would make more sense for them. But there is some hope that, you know, they were able to pull off that double steal and that helped contribute to their win. That maybe if they lean into it enough and play like they have nothing to lose, perhaps that they'll start to find themselves winning more. But I think you have to lean into that kind of approach. You can't just do that, you know, pick and choose. Because I think the less you do it, the less likely you are to have something, you know, work like that. Or the less you do it, the less prepared you are. I think the greater chance you'll get more thrown out in a situation like that. If you're going to be the aggressive team, be the aggressive team. Lean into it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that they believe right now? I mean, it's kind of hard to say no. But, like, and you don't want to get too high. You don't want to get too low. You want to stay right in the middle if you're a player and you know you have so many games left. But what do you think the belief is in the clubhouse? What do you think the belief is of this team, players and managers and coaches-wise? Like, do you think that they are like, yeah, like, we can be a legit contender, even if we don't add anything?
I think the players are thinking that. I do.
Yeah.
I think that they know. And I watched a documentary a few years ago on the 2015 Mets, and I believe in momentum for this reason, because, you know, they were kind of on the brink. They were similar to the Pirates in a way, I think, where they had a few veterans, but they had a great, you know, starting pitching staff. They just needed a few extra pieces on offense to figure their team out, and they were around the middle. Management gave them a reason to invest. They went out and got, I think they traded for Yoenis Cespedes and another pitcher and caught up some of their big prospects, and they ended up going to the World Series. And so I think that, you know, the season's monotonous. There's 162 games. You know, baseball is difficult to play, and you do it every day, and I get it. There's that fatigue. There's nothing like acquiring good players. They've already gotten the call-up. Paul Skenes was the big call-up that motivated them. Now we're months into his tenure on the team. Now it's time, I think, that if they go get – if management goes and gets another player that this team can feel excited about, I mean, I truly believe that there's palpable momentum where you can get fired up. Like, players can get fired up, I think, just knowing.
Right.
Just knowing, man, management wants us to win. You mean that they're sending us Paul Skenes? You mean they're going to send us a Brent Rooker, a Jazz Chisholm? They're acquiring the best that they can. They want us to win. Players feel that. I don't think that that's a lost element. They're not just blind to moves that happen, you know, above them. I think that they know that when management's willing to get a guy, it can just add a little extra fuel that can push them into the, you know, the dog days of summer, as they call it.
Well, just show us that you have our back. Show us that you're willing to put in as much effort as we're putting in. And I think that you're absolutely right about that. They could get that extra shot of life if they do bring in a name or bring in a Rooker or a Jazz Chisholm to add to this roster, to say, like, hey, we're going for it. Everybody wants to go for it. Everybody wants to win. I mean, it's the highest of competitors in the universe. They want to win. And anything that helps them win, they're going to be for. So I think that they would get an extra shot of life if management does do right by the team and by the players. Coming up next, I am going to – we talked about adding a bat just right there and how excited and, you know, how much fuel that these players on the team now could get from a certain name or a certain guy, a certain position to be added. But I want you to tell me why it's a good thing that the Pirates should trade for player X. Coming up next. And then maybe I'll throw in, all right, well, in order to get player X, they have to trade player Y that is already on the squad, and why that could be a good thing or a bad thing. We're going to do that at the 45s of every hour. The 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Dickerson Callis behind the glass with you on the Fan Morning Show. Crowley is obviously out today. He'll be back Monday. Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette will join the show at 8 a.m., and then Noah Hiles of the Post-Gazette will join the show at 9 a.m. But, Callis, I wanted to play a little game of why the Pirates should, and maybe why they shouldn't. Trade deadline is 4 days away, and they need to make moves. And I'm sure that Cherington has just – I bet you he hasn't even slept. I bet you he is calling, receiving calls, you know, sending texts, just kind of looking around for what player that they could add to this team. So we're going to go through some of the names that have been floated out there throughout the entirety of the show and decide whether it's a good fit and why they should do it, or maybe why not. So the first player, obviously, that comes to mind, why should they trade for Brent Rooker of the Oakland Athletics?
Well, Brent Rooker is one of the top offensive outfielders in Major League Baseball, and he's close to 300. You can't say that about too many players this season. 289 average, 24 home runs, 70 RBIs. He's somebody that I think can also play defense. I know DH has been what his focus has been, but it seems like he can still play the field, and those offensive numbers compared to not only just the Pirates, but every team in Major League Baseball, but those numbers can really catapult this lineup towards some more offensive production.
Why should or shouldn't they trade Aroldis Chapman if it meant getting Brent Rooker?
Ooh, I like that question. Why shouldn't they trade Aroldis?
Why shouldn't they? Whichever side that you fall on, then explain.
I don't think that the Athletics would benefit from buying this season. They're looking for prospects. If they weren't, and it was just a swap, I mean, I'd consider that. But I don't think it's realistic because the A's are not buyers.
Okay, let's not even look at the A situation. Why in a vacuum? Why should the Pirates trade Aroldis Chapman, or why shouldn't they? Let's think about the
at
Pirates.
All for any team.
At all.
They should trade Aroldis Chapman because they've got an abundance of great pitchers in the bullpen. I think Mlodzinski has figured it out enough that you can trust him as a seventh inning guy. Move Holderman to the eighth and Bednar in the ninth for most situations. And I think your offense needs that much more help that you don't need all the pitchers on the staff. If I were to make an argument, you don't trade him because he's becoming consistent, and you're not going to find too many guys within your organization or at all in Major League Baseball that can throw 103 miles per hour. And the fact that he's figuring it out now and is getting hot can, I think, preserve you games. Not in a closer role. I don't like him as a closer, but he's great as a setup guy.
I would tend to agree with you. I think that you trade for Brent Rooker because of just his hitting prowess. I mean, that just puts you in another realm, and he's that one missing piece that you could really, put on your shoulders to be, you know, the team that I think you're looking to be. And I don't really buy that he's just a DH. I think that he can play right field. He can play the outfield, and that would help you immensely. I think you should trade Aroldis Chapman if it means getting back multiple pieces or one big piece, because I think you have enough ammo at the pitching.
I do want to mention this as we continue to do this segment every hour. I just want to mention this as well, because this is kind of my bar. Our first major outfield-involved trade was yesterday. It was Randy Arozarena got sent to the Seattle Mariners, and the Mariners sent an outfielder who was a former fourth-round selection and a right-handed pitcher who was a former sixth-round selection. Arozarena batting he's batting 211 with 15 home runs. So that's kind of your bar there. Your low 200 average hitters, your mid-home run hitters, it just got a former fourth and sixth-round pick return. So Brent Rooker is batting 289. You might be looking at a former first.
Huh.
Maybe a top 20. And that's, if you're going to send prospects, you're looking at he's probably going to get the heftiest return based on how he's performing this season.
Yeah.
And because you still got, you got some years of control with him as well. That'll be part of the negotiations there, I'm sure.
As we started, this segment, we're going to go through other guys, but he makes the most sense if you can get that done. And I would trade top level prospects for him, and especially that you could have years of control. I think that he makes the absolute most sense. Coming up next, two guys didn't see eye to eye yesterday. We're going to break that down. But first, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's the Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.